Matthew, the first chapter, we're going to start reading at verse number 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. And then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all of this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. And when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child. And when he had found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. And when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Let us pray. Father, I thank you again today for this marvelous, wonderful account in the scriptures. Your precious son truly was born. Thank you so much for him, born of a virgin, just like you said in your word. And Father, he certainly is the Savior, our Savior of the whole world. Thank you, Father, for him. Thank you for sending him, and thank you for his willingness to come and pay the cost of our sin that we might have eternal life. Once again tonight, help us to honor you, to lift your name up. Lord, help us to be a better people, Lord, than we have been for you. We need strength. We need help. We need wisdom. This preacher needs it tonight. I ask you for it as he preaches. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Well, I suppose that everyone tonight here is ready for Christmas. Amen. It's New Year's Eve. You better be. Amen. I mean, it's time. Donna went over, I think it was yesterday, for a little while, and she said she never seen so many men in her life shopping. Everybody knows that's when men shop. Is possibly on Tuesday, but for sure by Wednesday we get our shopping done, or Christmas Eve we get it done. But anyway, I'm sure most of you are ready. You sit here tonight, you've got the gifts all bought, they're all done, and hopefully maybe they're even all wrapped. Maybe you won't have to go home and wrap anymore. Maybe some of you have already started the Christmas giving and receiving. And I'm sure that there's a lot of preparation work that is done to get ready for Christmas. I know that many of you ladies already have or are preparing to probably cook a big meal. You've got your job on your hands to feed these hungry men and these hungry young people. But anyway, there's a lot of preparation work to do in getting ready for Christmas. And I am sure, 100% sure, that the young people are ready to unwrap the gifts. I don't think there's any doubt of that whatsoever. They are all ready and primed to do that. But what we're going to do tonight is kind of shift away a little bit from that aspect of Christmas. And we're going to look and see tonight if possibly maybe we're ready in other ways. You know, there's a lot of preparation work, and a lot of times it takes our hearts and minds maybe away from the things of the Lord that He would have us to dwell on. Tonight, for a few moments, we're just going to look at some things, look at some attitudes, first of all, that is toward the Lord Jesus Christ, toward Christmas. The innkeeper, of course, we all know, had no room for Him. And there's people today who still have no room for Him in their Christmas. I was in a business place today, and I was in paying, and a lady came in. One of the owners of the place came in and kind of went into the back, and on the way, someone said to her, "Hope you enjoyed your Christmas." She said, "What do you mean, enjoyed my Christmas?" Said, "It's not even here yet." "What do you mean, enjoy it? How could I have enjoyed it when it was not here yet?" And I said, "Did I miss something?" So there was a lady standing there who is a Christian, and the other lady went on the back, and I said, "Well, I'm sorry to say she has missed something. She's missed Christ, and she has. She's not a Christian. When you don't have Him, you don't have the real meaning of Christmas." There's a lot of people who do not have room for Jesus Christ in their Christmas. We know also there's those like Herod who stands in opposition to Christmas or to Christ. All across this world today, there's folk who are standing against Christmas, against Christ, the Son of God, just like Herod did. There's those who are like the priest, if you read, are just indifferent. Some of the priests knew of when this Christ child should come, but they were indifferent. They weren't paying any attention, and there's a lot of indifference in the world today. We also know there was people, though, like Simeon, who was ready and waiting for Jesus to come. Standing in the temple waiting, and there came the mother and dad bringing in the Christ child, and he was ready and waiting. He had been told that he would not die until he saw the constellation of Israel. And now he was ready, he said, to go on because he had already now seen the salvation of the Lord. So there's also a lot of folk around who are waiting with anticipation upon the Lord. No, not His first birth, but His coming again. And we are waiting for that. So there's multitudes that are waiting. I trust that you are. I trust that you're looking forward to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's some ways that we need to be sure that we are ready. And I want to dwell on those just for a little while here tonight. Are we ready for Christmas? First of all, and this is, of course, basically elementary to a Wednesday night crowd and to people who probably, more than likely, many of you are saved. I cannot read hearts, so I would take for granted most of the people here in this service tonight is saved. But let me just say to you, you can never be ready for Christmas. You can never be ready until you are saved, till you have salvation, till you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. He was the Savior that was born. He was sent, He was brought, He was sent here to be the Savior of the world. And His name even means Savior. He came to wash away our sins. He shall wash away our sins in His blood if we'll let Him. So we know we need Christ as our Savior. If we'll just receive Him, we can accept that wonderful, wonderful gift of salvation. I would say above all, for each and every one of us is to be sure that we know we're saved. We're born into God's family. You say, "Oh, Brother Ross, surely everybody's saved." I mean, I hope you are, and I trust you are, but it's one of those things we need to be sure of. We need to be sure that it's not been some fake that has been sent our way, but that we know for sure that we're God's child. We've received him as our personal Savior. That's important. To be truly ready tonight, you must be born again. Not only that, let me say something to you. I believe it's so important that we as Christians face this season time of a time when we understand and know that God is looking for purity. And God is looking for people to confess their sins and be right with God. You know, it's more important than receiving a gift. It's more important than all the festivity that will go on tomorrow and the next few days. To be sure and know that we are saved from sin. He came to save us from our sin. He's looking for purity. Amen. Listen, folks, look with me over to the book of Titus for just a few moments. The book of Titus. I want to read something to you. Titus, the second chapter. You know, in the older days, when years ago, I was saved in 1966, I've told you many times there's a lot of preaching and a lot of things that in as far as widespread throughout the church that we used to hear. We used to hear a lot about the coming of Christ. I try to do my best somewhere within the year, to preach sometimes on the coming of Christ. We need to preach on that. But let me tell you something that we used to hear a lot about, we don't hear a whole lot about anymore, and that's the holiness of God. We do not hear. In fact, people close their ear to that. They do not want to hear about the holiness of God. And yet God tells us to be holy as he is holy. And he's looking for a pure people, a people who are clean from their sin. Amen. Look with me in the book of Titus, the second chapter, and let me read verse 13. He says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. First of all, as I mentioned to you, the coming of Christ, the second coming of Jesus Christ is so important. We ought to be looking for him. You know, that's the theme of our church. We are looking for the coming of Christ. We're looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. We are looking for him. We should. But listen to what he says then. As we look for the coming of Christ, what's our responsibility? Look what he says in verse 14. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. Jesus Christ, yes, he's coming again. What should that do for us? That should cause us to look toward ourselves and to judge ourselves and to begin to get rid of those things that's not pleasing to God and to cleanse our lives and to be pure. Whether you understand it or not, that's good preaching. Whether you understand it or not, it's important preaching. Whether you're understanding or not, we each and every one of us tonight ought to look to our lives and ask ourselves, where are we at with God? What kind of purity do we have in our life? Are we pure and clean before God? And if not, should not we cleanse our hearts and get right with God? Sure. So are we ready for this Christmas time? Well, I believe God is looking for some pure folk, Christian folk, who will just let go of sin and get right with God. It's more important than any gift you'll ever get tomorrow morning or any gift you'll unwrap tomorrow morning is getting right with the Lord and getting those sins forgiven and cleansed. Amen? The Bible says it's very simple. If we'll just confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all righteousness. I would ask ourselves again today, and please check it out. How long has it been since you literally went to God and asked forgiveness for sin? How long has it been? In all seriousness, just think in your mind a few moments. See, I don't know. You don't know about me. I don't know about you. But think in your mind a moment. How long has it been since you got on your knees and asked God to forgive you of sin? That your lives may be cleansed. God is looking for cleansed lives. Amen. And you know, he says he'll forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God says he'll do that. So are we ready tonight? Are we a people ready not only for Christmas but for the coming of the Lord? Are we ready? I believe something else tonight. I believe God is looking for a people who has forgiven other people. You know, we preach about these things, we talk about these things, but did you ever think about how many people sit with grudges against other folk? How many people carry those grudges day after day after day? Are we really ready for the coming of the Lord when we will hold grudges in our heart? Again, can I read your heart? I don't know what's in your heart. You don't know what's in mine, but I want to tell you something. We're sitting holding grudges and people that we've not forgiven. It's wrong. And we're not really ready as we would like or should be ready for Christmas or the coming of the Lord, either one. I say to you, it's so important, you see, that God says, he says for us to be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now, folks, just think for a moment. Let your mind go for just a moment to people. How many's out there today that you have not forgiven? How many people are you holding grudges against? Is there folk that you're holding grudges against? I want to tell you something, folks. This is serious business. How in the world are we going to be forgiven until God, we forgive others? I'm not talking about salvation, folks. I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about right living, right with God. How can we hold those grudges and those things in our heart and say we're ready for Christmas or we're ready for the coming of the Lord? You know, the very dying prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That was his dying prayer. God would have us, you see, God would have us to forgive. And the only way forgiveness comes is through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I was talking to the Lord the other day. I'll let you in a little secret. I was talking to him, talking about the blood. I said, Lord, every time I kneel and pray, I talk about forgiveness. I talk about asking you to forgive me. And I know something. That still, that blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is still working. It's still doing its work. And it's the only way that you can forgive me. Only way. It's through the shed blood of the Son of God. That's the only way I can be forgiven. That's the only way you can be forgiven. And let me say to you, it's the only way that we can forgive others. Do you understand what I'm saying? How the importance of forgiveness is? Do you understand if we really want to be right with God, it's not all the festivities. I'm glad we're going to have a good time tomorrow. I'm thankful you're going to have a good time. I want you to have a great time. I want you to enjoy family. I want you to do that. But boy, it's more important that you're right with God. Amen. That's more important than, you know, than all of this other things. And in fact, the Bible tells us over Mark, the 11th chapter, when you stand praying, forgive. If you have an ought against another, forgive. Do we have oughts against someone tonight? Do we have oughts against someone? Folks, listen, don't turn this off. Don't turn it off. Don't turn your hearing aid off. I'm talking to you. Okay? Do you have an ought against someone? Don't you think you need to get that cleared up? No, as God's children, don't you think you need to get it cleared up? Don't you think you need to get that forgiven? If we're really going to be right with God tonight, so we can really enjoy this time called Christmas and look forward to the coming of Christ, don't you think we ought to get that cleared up? Amen. Don't walk around with oughts against another. No. Don't do that. Get it all cleared. Amen. And get it cleared tonight. God will forgive you, you see. Yes, he will. So let's forgive those others. And then not only that, God is looking for some people that has humility in their life. Whether we understand completely or not, you know, Jesus humbled himself unto death. The death of the cross. And he's looking for some humility. He's looking for not those that stand in pride, but he's looking for some humility. How are we tonight? Are we standing in pride? Are we better than anybody else? Are we not going to forgive somebody because of what they've done to us? Is there humility in your heart? Is there a humbleness you see in your heart? How can we? Jesus said, I am meek and lowly in heart. That's what Jesus said. Amen. Don't you think we need to see more humility in the Christian life today? Amen. How are we ready to meet the Lord, and how are we ready for Christmas if we're not have some humbleness about us? Amen. You know, the Lord tells us to really to clothe ourselves in humility. The Word of God says, "For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace unto the humble." I've said to you many times, I don't want God resisting me. And as long as there's pride in my life, God is going to resist. Now we can turn that around and say the same to you. Is that old pride, what drives you? Or is there humility? Is there some humility about you? Are you, you know, God wants to give grace to you, but he'll resist you as long as there's pride in your life. You don't want God resisting you. You don't want this Christmas time God resisting you. Amen. Let there be some humility in your life. And not only that, let us submit tonight our lives unto the Lord Jesus Christ. You look at Mary, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time tonight on all of these things, but if you will look at Mary, how she submitted herself to the Lord's will. You know, the angel was sent to tell her of she was going to have this child, and she said, let it be according to thy word. She didn't understand all these things, but she said, let it be according to thy word. Folks, listen, have we submitted our lives tonight like Mary submitted hers? Are we willing tonight to just simply allow God to have his will and his way in our life? Young people, tonight, if you don't get everything for Christmas that you would really like to have, is it okay? If you don't get anything, is it okay? I mean, would that be all right? And all the parents said, amen. Amen. No, in all seriousness, isn't it time we submitted ourselves unto the Lord like Mary submitted herself to the Lord? Isn't it right we submit ourselves as Joseph submitted himself unto the Lord? The Lord told Joseph, said, it's okay, you take Mary to be your wife. He didn't understand that. I think about that so many times, and I think of what Joseph must have thought. He was going to put her away privately because he thought she was with child outside, of course, of marriage. That's what he thought. And I think he truly loved Mary. So he's going to put her away quietly. But the angel of the Lord came and said, Joseph, said you take her to be your wife. And once again, Joseph agreed to that and took Mary to be his wife. Now, I want to tell you something, folks. There's hard times, there's hard things in the Christian life that a lot of times we don't want to accept. That's not easy. Submit yourself to the will of God. You know what I was thinking also about Mary in this situation? Mary went, on the trip to Bethlehem. They had to go there to be taxed or to be registered for taxation. They had to go. I thought about that. She was ready to be delivered. You can you imagine the hardship of traveling that distance ready to give birth to a child? I don't think probably we can probably understand all that, but listen to me. There's going to be hardships in life. Things are not always easy. Submit yourself to those things. No matter how hard they may seem at the time, God has a purpose and a reason for them. And you find that what God is looking for is submission. Like Jesus, who came in obedience even unto death, even the death of the cross. He came in obedience. And what God is looking for today, have you submitted your life unto the Lord today? Ask yourself tonight as you get ready for Christmas Day, have you submitted your life unto the Lord in his will? I mean, even if it's tough, even if it's traveling to Bethlehem, have you submitted yourself to his will? Oh, how important that is in our life. Amen. Not only that, has there been a time when you've truly expressed gratitude for what God has done? You know, we're living in a country where we are so blessed. God has so blessed us. And we, above all, I believe, ought to be thankful for what God has done for us. We have so much. We are blessed. We didn't have to fight somebody or worry about somebody arresting us tonight to come to church. We are just a blessed nation. And we find the wise men came and they fell at his feet and they worshiped him and gave him gifts. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Amen. And I'm just asking you, I don't know what you've done, okay? Have you given him any gifts this Christmas? Have you done anything just for him, for his work? Or is it all wrapped under a Christmas tree in pretty wrapping paper? You say, Brother Ross? No, I don't know. I don't know what you've done. I just wonder if we are like the wise men showing our gratitude to God for what he's done. Are we ready for Christmas? Have we done anything for the work of God this Christmas? Amen. Or has it been all about us? Amen. Has it been all about those who we love so much? Okay. Have we truly worshiped him and remembered that's what Christmas is all about? You know what did you know I have 12 grandchildren? I probably not told you that over 1 million times. And do you know that I love those grandchildren with a love that I can't even express to you? And that you love your grandchildren, you love your children, you love your grandchildren. Yes, you do. I know you do. Yes, yes, you do. But do we put all of our love toward those whom we love so much and forget the one whom we ought to love? Amen. Are we ready for Christmas? Or maybe did we forget to put a present somewhere for him? Amen. I remember, and I was thinking about Simeon again as he come and he took up the Lord Jesus in his arms there in the temple, and the Bible says he blessed God. You know, this Christmas time is not a time just to have fun, not just a time to enjoy, not just a time to unwrap presents, but it's a time to bless God. To thank God for who he is and to give thanks and praise unto his name. I was thinking of Anna. There in the temple, and Anna, the Bible says, and she spoke to all of those that look for redemption. It says she spoke unto them, all of those who looked for redemption. She saw the Christ child. She saw him. And I was thinking about, have we spoken to anybody this Christmas about him? Have we missed the boat? Have we, in all of our gift buying and all of those things, have we missed the real thing that Christmas is all about, a time of witnessing and telling people about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who loves them? Have we missed that? Or has that been a part of our Christmas time? Amen? You understand what this preacher is saying? Anna spoke to all of those that look for redemption. And the Bible says she gave thanks. Oh, it ought to be a time of thanksgiving, amen, unto the Lord. And then I am reminded of how the shepherds there on that hillside came and found the Lord Jesus there that day. And the Bible says that they glorified and praised God as they gave, not them didn't give the gifts, but as they came to honor him and praise his name for who he was. I'm just saying to you, are we ready for Christmas? Amen. Are we prepared inside for Christmas? Paul said, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. The greatest gift, folks, that you've ever received is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. No, that's the greatest gift you've ever received. Amen. And ought we not at this time of year be thankful for it, grateful for it? Shouldn't it be a time when we express our thanks unto him? And then because of all of this, I believe there's something that we ought to check ourselves out on. Is there any compassion in our heart tonight for the lost, for a lost and dying world? Is there any compassion in us that will reach out and say, oh, I've got the answer for you. I have Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The Bible says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Are we fulfilling that commission as we go out and have this wonderful time called Christmas? I've just said a few things like this to try to stir your heart tonight. Are you ready for Christmas? I just want you to just realize it's more, and I want you to enjoy yourself, but it's more than that, folks. See, you can turn a deaf ear to this preacher tonight if you want to. You can do that. That's okay. My responsibility is not that you hear me. My responsibility is that I tell you. Whether you hear me or not, whether you ward it off or pass it on by it, really, that's entirely up to you. Amen? But it's my responsibility to remind you of these things. Folks, we need to get back to the real meaning of Christmas. Here, some time ago, a few weeks ago, I challenged you. I challenged you to find someone to share with, to do something for, that could absolutely never pay it back. Now, I don't know what you did, and I'm not asking you to tell me. But I challenged you on this Christmas time to find someone, do something for someone, specifically someone that could never pay you back or do anything back for you. Now, I don't know what you did. I know my wife and I, we did. And I'm telling you that only simply because I preach it. I believe I ought to do it. If I ask you to do it, I think I and my wife ought to do it. But we did. I just want to ask you, did you? You don't have to answer me, but did you? No, I'm not talking some about in some general way. You probably helped somebody. You put in your tithes, put in some offering, and that probably helped. No, I'm talking about specifically. Did you find someone in need and share with them something that they can never pay back to you? That's where real giving comes in. Amen? That's where real giving comes in. All these other things, and I'm thankful for the Christmas trees and the presents under them and the joy that comes for that day. But boy, if we miss the whole purpose of everything that we've been talking about tonight, we've missed it. And I don't think God's pleased when we miss it. The Bible says He's given us all things to enjoy. I believe God does give us things to enjoy. That we are seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these other things will be added unto us. Amen. So it's Wednesday night. It's Christmas Eve. Are you ready for Christmas? There's still time. If you're not, there's still time. There's still time to get saved. There's still time to get right with people. Now don't you pass this off. Don't you shift it off of somebody else. If you're not right with somebody, you're holding grudges against somebody. That's a wicked thing. That's bad. That's wicked. You go into a Christmas season that way. That's wrong. No, you need to get them right. There's still time. There's still time to humble ourselves before God and be humbled, humility before the Lord. There's still time. Amen? Sure there is. There's still time to give to someone who couldn't ever give back to you. Amen? And that's exactly what Jesus did. He gave us a gift impossible for us to ever repay. The gift of the washing away of our sins through His shed blood. And you and I can't repay it. Never, ever, ever, ever. So I'm asking you tonight, are you ready for Christmas? Oh, I think probably most of us are ready every other way that we've talked about earlier. We got all preparations made. Amen. The candy's been made. In fact, I got a big plate of it. My wife and I got a big plate of the candy. And I thank God for all the gifts that was given us and the cards and the kindness and all of that. I do. But the greatest thing you can do for this preacher is be a people that's right with God. You do that, and you'll make this preacher the happiest guy that ever lived. If you're here today without Christ, you can't say, I know for sure, 100% sure, that if I died today, I'd go to heaven. The greatest thing you could do today is receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, be born again into God's family. He loves you. Came all the way from heaven, died on the cross, was buried, rose again, that you might have eternal life. That's a great gift. You could walk from this place tonight knowing for sure you're God's child. As we give an invitation in a moment, I'm going to ask you to do something. We're just going to simply ask you this. If there's something on your heart, maybe I just touched a palate somewhere in your life, that maybe God spoke to you about something that maybe I didn't mention. You may need to come to an altar prayer and just get alone with God tonight and just pray. If you're here without Jesus, you need to come and receive Christ as your personal Savior. Amen. Christians, let's just be ready for Christmas. Amen. There's a need tonight. Please let God meet it as we pray. Father, again, I thank you today for your wonderful kindness and goodness and grace. Thank you for who you are, the great, the true, the living God. And then, Father, we just pray your will be done here tonight in this invitation. If there's any here without Christ, oh God, please convict. Use this time, Father, to bring them unto yourself. For we as your children, help us to be ready, especially in the ways we've spoken of tonight, that you may be glorified in our lives. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.